Luke chapter 5. And verse 17 I'm going to read to you. Luke 5 and verse 17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." We continue this morning on a theme that we've been doing over the last few weeks called the power of. We've dealt with a number of issues and it's only going to be a short series. And there's many things that we could actually speak of the power of. For example, the power of words, the power of encouragement, the power of love. But this morning I'm going to talk about the power of a hope community, because I really do believe it's very appropriate for us at this time in our church life. This text shows us a wonderful example of the power of hope working through a small group of people. What happened here in this gospel record I just read to you was this. A hopeless person was brought by hopeful people to the feet of Jesus. The man was a paralytic, paralyzed. His life was restricted, his life was burdened, his life was heavy. I suppose that to many people he would have been a hopeless case. The word hopeless surely must be one of the saddest words in the English language. Because when you refer to something as hopeless, there's a kind of dark finality about it. Almost a doom and gloom. It's like a despair term. But the word hope is so different. The word hopeful, the word hope, it's so positive. It's so aspirational. It gives so much light and encouragement. And this church here in Newtown that we belong to today, we want it to be known as a hope church. We want the people, remember this all the time, that the church is not the building. So we can put hope on the wall, but that means nothing. It's got to be hope in the people. And we are to be a people of hope. As a church, we can never be 100% successful. But we can be 100% hopeful. And that's our aim. To be a people full of hope. And to give people any hope, they have to be brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the problem. Religion doesn't take people there. Politicians don't carry people there. Only the church can take people to the feet of Jesus. So let's have a look. I want us to learn four lessons this morning from this passage to see how a community of four, a small church if you like, actually did something to bring hope to a hopeless person. The first thing we see is this. A hope community has compassion. It says in verse 18, some men were carrying. Now you have to ask yourself, why were they carrying? The word compassion is not mentioned. So why do I say that there must have been compassion? The answer is this. None of us do anything without motivation. If we do something, it's because we are motivated to do it. So what is it that makes four men who are healthy give up time for someone who's not? What is it that makes four people who have got their own lives to lead, their own problems, their own difficulties, their own challenges, what is it that makes four people like that commit themselves to some inconvenience for the sake of somebody else in need? What does that? What is it that makes someone carry a stretcher? What is it that makes someone get involved with somebody else's problem? What makes someone pick up a stretcher whilst other people watch and do nothing? The answer is compassion. People who care become people who carry. Carers become carriers. People who don't care don't carry. See, people with compassion can't not do something. They have to do something. It's impossible not to. You see, because compassion drives. It urges you. It prompts you. It pushes you. It doesn't let you go. You have to do something when you have this driving force of compassion in you. That's what caused God to send his son to earth. Psalm 116:5 says, our God is full of compassion. Psalm 145:9, he has compassion on all that he has made. James 5:11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. God just couldn't stand by and watch a world that he loved die without hope. So he did something. He became the savior of the world through dying on a cross. As we look at these four men, I am sure they had plenty of other things to do with their time. I'm sure they had their own family needs, their own work responsibilities, their own commitments. But if they hadn't done what they did, the man would have been left without any hope. This is a major challenge to all of us today. And I want to just remind you of the two big rocks that Jesus brought in the gospel. He actually, amongst all his teaching, he actually dropped on us two big rocks that he says are the biggest rocks that we need to be aware of. This is what he said in Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest rock. The first and greatest commandment. And then he said this, and the second rock is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Wow. Now in those two biggies, Jesus mentions three people. And our task as Christians is to get our balance right as regards to these three people. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. And love yourself. Now if we don't get those three in good balance, everything else will be out of sync. We have to love God with all our heart. But you can't just love God and love yourself. You have to love your neighbor as much as you love you. So you have to love you. If you don't love you, you can't love anybody else. And the Bible says you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor. So these are pretty important things. Which means that we have to. We can't just have personal Christian living whereby we love God and love ourselves and get on with life. We have to have an others section in our life. We have to have room in our busy lives for others, just like these people did. Now, I know that we all have plenty to do. We're all busy. But in our busyness, we have to make time for carrying a stretcher. We have to make time to get involved with the needs of others. Our neighbor, according to what Jesus said, is anybody that has a need in their life. So, a challenge to us all. Do we have compassion? And do we care about people who have needs? Do we care enough to pick up a stretcher? Do we care enough to give some support? Do we care enough to carry? Philip Yancey tells a story of Dr. Paul Brand, who has given his whole life to treat lepers in India. And during one examination of a leper, he put his hand on this leper's shoulder and was speaking to him through a translator. And the man began to shake and to sob. So Dr. Brand said to the interpreter, "Have I said something wrong?" And the interpreter quizzed the patient, "Why were they sobbing?" And then she said to the doctor, "No, doctor, you haven't said anything wrong. He says he's crying because you put your hand around his shoulder. Until he came here, no one had touched him for many years." Do you care enough to touch someone in need? Is there enough compassion in you and me? Mother Teresa said this, "We have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy. But these drugs do not treat the main problem, the disease of being unwanted. That's what my sisters hope to provide. The sick and poor suffer even more from rejection than material want. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty." Compassion. These people cared about someone in need, cared enough to take some time out of their own schedules to care for someone. Duty will always bring you to a point of limit, but compassion will take you where duty stops. It will move you on. And that's the first thing this Hope community of four had. They had compassion. They cared. The second thing they had is this. This Hope community had revelation. It says that once they picked him up, they tried to lay him before Jesus. A Hope church has got to know what it can do and what it can't do. And notice that there's three things that they knew. First of all, they knew that their skills would not meet the man's need. Although they had some ability, they knew that in themselves they were not the man's hope. The man's need was bigger than all their skills put together. His need was bigger than their own ability. So they realized that once they got involved with helping a person with a need, that they were not the answer, but they knew where the answer was. And as we call ourselves Hope Community Church, every one of us who belongs to this church must have that same revelation, that same understanding, that all our abilities and skills put together cannot save a single soul, cannot transform a single life. But thank God we know where that can happen. But it's not our skills that make it happen. They also knew it wasn't their strength that could make the man whole. They could carry, but they could not cure. It's a very, very important point. We must understand the great danger of carrying people continually who have a need because we haven't taken them to the feet of Jesus. We end up carrying them all their life. You see, these people knew where they had to take the person with need. But it wasn't their strength. It wasn't their ability. And you see, this is a big danger when churches try to help people with needs, which is our call in following Jesus. That it's not our strength that can put people back on their feet. And for some people, they are happy just to be carried. In other words, they don't mind if we carry them for a month, a year, 10 years. They just think being carried is better than sitting on the floor. But it's not the answer. If churches carry people and just set up structures to carry people, in the end, it limits us in our ability to help others. And it also means that we get weighed down because we can't just, we are not ourselves the answer to the needs of the world. So we have to make sure that our strength is used to take people where they need to go. And we must be clear on this. All our ministers in the church, all our counseling, all our doing, all our working, all our efforts, everything we do to try and help people with their needs, it must be designed not to be an end in itself, but to bring people to the feet of Jesus. That's where all our ministers must end up, bringing people, children, young people, old people, all people, to Jesus Christ. They also had the revelation, it wasn't their stretcher either that was the answer. The stretcher that they carried the man on, which the Bible calls a mat, the stretcher was simply the means to get him where he needed to be. It was important, but it was also limited. And one of our core values as a church here, that everything we do, we will do to the best of our ability, because we believe that excellence honors God. We will do everything we can to the best of our ability. We will use the best stretchers we can use. We don't want to use mats that people fall through or mats that people fall off. But at the end of the day, all our buildings, all our departments, all our methods, everything we do as a church are simply stretchers. And it's not the stretcher that brings healing. It's not the stretcher that brings deliverance. It's not the stretcher that brings salvation. Only Jesus Christ has the answer to the core needs of humanity. The power to change lives is not in our programs. It's not in our structures. It's not in our stretchers. It's not even in our meetings. It's in Jesus Christ. No matter how high-tech our stretcher ever gets to be. I'm so thankful for the many people that work in our church to do things. We have so many people work well to make sure that what we do is efficient. And we try all the time to keep moving on to get better. You will notice that we've got two more electronic screens gone up on the wall there to make sure, again, in our presentation of truth, we can use the best modern means we can to bring truth to people in our presentation of Jesus. It's good that we keep trying to develop our counseling skills, our work skills, our ministries, etc. But we must understand and have this revelation that all those things only ever work when they connect people with Jesus Christ. The passion that we did last year at Easter was fantastic. It's going to be fantastic again this Easter as we present to hundreds of people the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even the passion, it's only a stretcher. It's only a tool. It's not, we want people to think, that was a great stretcher. It's got to be devised to bring people into contact with Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Last Saturday I was at a wedding with Jen up in Widnes. And our niece was getting married. And you remember that we had a group from that church came here a year ago, called the Lighthouse, which is a ministry of the church to reach out to people who have been drug addicts and alcoholics. And some of them came and we saw some of their lives had been changed as they'd reached out into that very difficult area there, needy area of Runcorn and Widnes. And at this wedding last Saturday, one of the young men that would come there, and he was all dressed up at the wedding, he looked immaculate, he did, and he came up and asked how we were doing and chatted a little bit, and I asked him how he was doing. He said, "I'm doing really great, really great." And he said that he's now at his second year at college, and of course he's totally broken off the whole drug addict thing, and he was dressed really, really smart. And I noticed that he was playing music during the reception and at the end at the back of the church with a little group. And he was, this man, immaculately dressed, was playing a cello. You know, you don't picture a man that's been a drug addict playing a cello. And there was a lady with him playing the flute, and also she was playing the violin. And then there was a man with him playing the keyboard and another girl. And he said, "This is my family." And I said, "Wow, What a gifted family. See, that's my mum and dad. And he told a story about how his mum and dad were not Christians. He'd been brought up in a very good, close-knit family. But then he got in with the wrong crowd and got hooked onto drugs. Went downhill, became a total addict. But then, of course, that church had this ministry of reaching out to get people off drugs. And it connected him with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, with Jesus Christ. And he was saved, set free. And he said, when I got saved, he said, became a Christian. He said, my mum and dad saw the massive change in me. He said, and they came to the church and they got saved and became Christians too. And the whole family is now Christians. That's because he was connected. Their stretcher there was called the lighthouse. But it brought him to the feet of Jesus. His mum and dad came to the feet of Jesus. And we need to understand as a Hope community that our whole task is to lay people at the feet of Jesus Christ. The third thing this Hope community had was unity. It says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 3, he was carried by four of them. And this is a beautiful picture of people working together for this fantastic cause of helping people that need help. Let's notice three things. One, I want you to notice this, that they had to walk together. There's four of them carrying a stretcher. They had to walk together. It's impossible to carry a stretcher if you're not walking together. I mean, you picture it. If one's going that way, and one's going that way, and one's going that way, and one's going that way, you imagine how far you're going to get. You have to walk together. Now, I guarantee, no matter who those four men were, I guarantee that they had different opinions on stuff. I guarantee it. No matter, pick any four people, and they're going to have different opinions on some stuff. I mean, even in the marriage of husband and wife, I dare to guess. There may be differences of opinions on some stuff. It's a fact of life. But somehow, the differences of opinion did not matter. What mattered was the person on the stretcher. They knew they had to walk together if they were going to see change in this person's life. Now listen to me really carefully. In church life, we do not have to agree on everything in order to walk together. We have to grow up. Some Christians are so immature, they have never learned to grow up. In any church, and in fact, the more people that come to a church, the more there's going to be diversity of opinion and preferences and views and opinions. But we have to understand that we can still walk together even though we may not see or agree on every issue. These men were probably different personalities, different backgrounds. But all that was secondary to bringing hope. Bringing hope was the goal of these men. And as Christians, we have to learn to reject what often is called me church. When all we look for in church is what suits me, what I like. Because so many people, they kind of cause division and schism in the body of Christ. Because they think, oh well, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that. Hey listen, the whole world, the whole plan of God revolves around something far bigger than what you like. And what I like. What matters is the world out there that's hurting, that's in pain, that needs to be brought to the feet of Jesus. And it will never happen if Christians don't walk together. Archbishop William Temple reminded us many years ago that the church is the only institution on earth that exist for the benefit of those who are not yet in it. Unity is not about agreement on everything, but about cooperation in order to get the job done. Nobody can carry a stretcher on their own unless it's empty. In fact, in this passage, it ends with one person carrying a stretcher, and that was by the guy that was carried on it. He's now going home carrying it, and it's okay to carry a stretcher when there's nobody on it. But we can't help others just by ourselves. We have to work and walk together. Secondly, we have to, like they did, walk in vision. Where did this idea come from? Of putting this guy, we'll call him Joe, of putting Joe on a stretcher and taking him to Jesus. Where did that idea come from? Somebody had to think of it. It was a vision. A vision. Somebody must have thought, hey, up. We hear about this Jesus who's doing lots of miracles. Here's Joe here. Why don't we take Joe and put him down at the feet of Jesus and let's see what God does for him. And then somebody who had the idea had to persuade others to come on board. Because just one man with an idea doesn't carry a stretcher. Now, those that were persuaded could have said, not my idea. Why should I do it? I mean, he thought of it, and then if I do it now, it's going to make him look good. Not my idea. He could have said that. Somebody could have said, well, no. Why? It's always him that's having the ideas. It's time somebody else had a fresh idea. Why should we do what he says? You know, this is a very creative idea. It's a wonderful idea. Somebody had to have it, but somebody else had to get on board to make it a reality. And in church life, as a leadership team, we often bring you a vision. And that vision is processed through our leadership team meetings, and we talk through issues, and we dialogue. And you know, when that vision finally comes to you, if you were to ask us which one's idea was that, we wouldn't be able to tell you. Because number one, it doesn't matter. And number two, because in our dialogue, we have shaped it all together. The new name for the church, Hope Community Church, Living the Dream. Where did that come from? It came from us bouncing things around. The important thing is not the one that has the idea. The important thing is that any vision actually embraces mission that will bring people to the feet of Jesus. And in every church, every mission, it's always a result of vision. So there has to be vision. But vision without hands would achieve nothing. The important thing was that the man got to the feet of Jesus, not who had the idea. And notice this, that Jesus commended them all so that no one got more praise than anybody else. But then the third thing we see is this, they also had to walk in position. We don't know how far they had to walk carrying this man. But the Bible says they'd come from Galilee, all the towns, and Jerusalem. So people had come a long way to where he was. Now when you're carrying somebody like that, it's obvious. There's going to be two at the front, there's going to be two at the back. And they had to walk in those positions all that way. And not only that, keep those positions right up to the top of the rooftop before they lowered the man through the roof. Do you know what? Even that was a miracle. That people could walk in harmony and stay in position all that way, all that time, in order to bring that man to the feet of Jesus. That could not happen in many churches. In fact, if you look at a lot of what happens in churches through the land, sadly, many times what you look at in church life is like a carry-on farce. It really is. It's unbelievable. To get people to cooperate and work together for a big cause. In some places you've had people squabbling. Why are you at the front? And why am I at the back? We should be at the front. We've been here longer than you have. Or, I'm not working with you. I'll carry a stretcher with somebody else, but not with you. Or, I think you're too young to carry a stretcher. Or, I'm not carrying a stretcher with a woman. Or, even this, our old pastor said we should carry a stretcher this way. And people argue about methods and people argue about techniques. Or maybe some people say, okay, but I'm only going to carry a stretcher if we sing the old songs. Or I'll only carry a stretcher if we sing the new songs. Or I'm not going to work with that church. Or I won't work with that church. I'll carry a stretcher with any other church, but not with that church. And I certainly can't carry a stretcher with that person because 35 years ago, me and him had bad words. This is what happens so often. Do you know what happens? The person in need stays away from the feet of Jesus. You see, friends, when the church doesn't get its act together, it's lost people that pay the price. When the church does not get its act together, people remain away without hope. How many people fall off stretchers because they are not handled properly by Christians who should be growing up and becoming more like Jesus every day? How many people get off stretchers because of judgmentalism and condemnation from Christians? How many times does the church try to help someone and while they're putting the person on the stretcher they say, you know, you would never have got pregnant if only. Or you would not be an alcoholic if. Or you would not be a drug addict if. Or your marriage would not have screwed up if. How many times we try to say to people, hey, here's the church, we're your answer, and we put them on the stretcher and then start pointing the finger. And the people think, hold on a minute, I've got enough problems. I'm out of here. So we wonder why the church carries empty stretchers. The church is going to have to learn some new skills. Bashing homosexuals will never get them to the feet of Jesus. We have got to be able to understand that people's lives can be all screwed up with so many different things. And all that stuff is simply just some aspect of the root cause of all humanity's problems. It's called sin. And do you know where sinners need to go? To the feet of Jesus. And the church has got to learn. It can't just keep condemning lesbians. It can't just keep condemning homosexuals. It's got to be able to put them on the stretcher, along with every other person with human need, and bring them to the place where lives change. At the feet of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing was this. A hope community has faith. It says Jesus saw their faith. It's impossible for us to be a hope church unless we're a faith church. We have to have faith. Wherever you see a change, anywhere in the world, in any society, in any group, in any church, in any life, everywhere, there's always a four-link chain. It starts with faith, hope, action, change. Faith, hope, action, change. Do you know why we believe we can be called Hope Community Church? Do you know why we believe we can be a church of hope? Because faith tells us that God can do anything. So our faith is the root of us calling ourselves hope. And then it's the action. That hope, because hope actually has a passion for what is possible. And that results in change. And notice in verse 17 it says, the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And yet you don't read of anybody sick getting healed. The power of the Lord was present to heal the sick, but no sick were being healed. Until these four guys got in there. And then faith entered the room. You see, until then, it was filled with religious people, but not faith people. And you have a room full of religious people, and you won't see nothing. You get a room filled with faith people, and anything can happen. A hope community has to have faith. And notice that faith is not affected by the problem. This man's need was desperate. He was paralyzed. He didn't just have a sore back or a headache or a chill or a cold. He was paralyzed. This was a big need. But they still took him. Do you know why? Because though the need was big, they saw Jesus bigger. Faith always sees that. Faith doesn't just see the problem. It sees the one that's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we can ask or even imagine. Don't write off people. Don't write off situations. The worst alcoholic, the worst drunkard, the most screwed up domestic crisis, no matter what the situation. One of the hymn writers says this: faith laughs at impossibilities and cries, "It shall be done." Faith is not affected by the problem. And we are living in a nation where so much is going wrong, so much is bad in our land, so much desperate need in our land. And we must guard ourselves against becoming cynical and thinking it's too bad, it's too dark, it's too evil, it's too sinful. Wherever there is hope, hope always believes that something can happen. Because hope rests, it works out of faith. Faith and hope are so intertwined together. Hope always believes, even in the worst of times. We know that not many people go to church nowadays in our land. And many people have been abandoning church. Let me just say something. That is not necessarily a bad thing. Because some churches are not worth going to anyway. And if we get rid of something of what people think is church, that will actually help for real church to be better. Faith is not affected by the problem. Secondly, faith focuses on Jesus. When they carried the man, they just saw how paralyzed he was, unable to move. But they didn't focus on how great the need was. They knew where he was going, where he was being taken to. They knew that no matter how great his need was, Jesus was able. They focused on him and in all that we do as a church. When we're reaching out to children, to old people, to young people, when we're reaching out to people who are lonely and desperate and hurting and pained and sick, all the time when we see that, our focus is not to be on how bad the problem is, but just how great Jesus is. Faith focuses all the time on Jesus. And the third thing is this: faith is not hindered by obstacles. Do you know what these people found who were carrying a desperate man? People got in the way. People got in the way. But it didn't stop them. Whenever you try to get anyone to the feet of Jesus, you will always find there's people in the way. Always. People will always be in the way. People will say stuff to you. Remember when children tried to get to Jesus, even the disciples turned them away. Wherever people try to get close to Jesus, there's always the problem of getting past people. And sometimes, as a church, people will question what we do. People may oppose what we do. But faith must not be hindered by obstacles. And even when people were in the way, then the next thing they found when they got above people, the roof was in the way. But even when faith looked at the roof, faith didn't think, well, okay, that's it now. The roof's too big a problem. Faith got through the roof. It broke the tiles. It broke through. And eventually they got the man to where he needed to be. Right there at the feet of Jesus. I wonder how many times our faith gives up at roof height. How many times do we make progress with people who got needs? And we get them so far. And we get them beyond people. But then there's a blockage and we don't break through to where Jesus is. As I come to close, I want you to see the blessing these four people had. When they lay there, friend, at the feet of Jesus, He got more than what they were expecting. He didn't just get healed. He got forgiven. His sins got taken away. They carried the man to Jesus. And Jesus put the man on his feet. We can't put people's lives back together again. We can't forgive people's sins. We can't break the chains of habits. But we can bring people to Jesus. And he can put people back on their feet again. And he went home independently. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just the same. Just the same. And it's our commitment as a church to every ministry, every department, everything that takes place in this church has one aim. One aim. To bring people to the feet of Jesus. That we might all together, like these four men, be an instrument of hope. So that people look back and say, I thank God for those people. They helped me to get to the feet of Jesus. And my life has never been the same since. Let's stand, shall we? The band are going to lead us in a closing song. And as we think about this, as we sing this song, let's just ask ourselves about our own compassion. Ask ourselves, when do actually I put my hand to a stretcher that helps someone? And let's check ourselves. Our efforts are all intended to do that one thing, to bring people to the feet of Jesus. Let's sing this song together.